Good morning, BPN Radio. My name is Shay Schultz, and I'm a member of YPI, or Young Preachers International, which is a group that's led by Dale Gentry and the amazing people here at BPN. You know, I really believe that God is doing something incredible in the earth today, and that you and I are called to be part of it. My prayer for you is that in this time together, you take away a substantial deposit and let it change you or how you view your current situations in life. I pray that it sparks conversation in your own life that would set you on a journey to explore what God has placed in you since the beginning of time. Allow Him in these next few moments to replace religious mundane thoughts with new possibilities and creative God ideas to look at and handle everyday life. You and I are sons and daughters of a risen King that has never been defeated, and we have the capacity and are called to deliver heaven's authority and power on the earth. So let's take a deeper dive together and see what all God has in store. Today I want to talk to you about heaven's supply. You know, I feel like as believers, there's such a disconnect whenever we say things like, you know, oh, you have a calling on your life, or, you know, I've had that so many times in my own life, and, you know, I feel like it's both inspiring, but at the same time, kind of confusing and kind of like I'm blind as to what the next step is. So I feel like that's more than just me. I feel like there's a lot of people who struggle with operating in their calling and the fullness of God, of what He's called them to. And so I just really pray that this next segment really challenges you and some awakens something deep inside of you to begin to live the life that God has called us to in a practical way. So let me just pray for you right now. Lord, I just pray that every person listening to this broadcast, Lord, will receive something substantial today. I pray that, you know, we go beyond mere good messages and just good talks, God, and just another podcast for some good information and head knowledge. But Lord, I pray that this begins to release something powerful in the believers today. God, I just pray that you really teach us and give us wisdom and insight to what it means to live life fully alive as you intended, for what Jesus died for. Lord, help us to reap the harvest that Jesus died for, Father. Help us to get that revelation deep down inside us today. Help us to walk with confidence and clarity and peace and know how to be not just peacekeepers, Father, but peacemakers. God, I just challenge that to every believer today. I call that to every believer today. I pray you're doing something even right now as I speak. In Jesus' name, amen. So my scriptural context for this is out of John 10, and it talks about the parable of the Good Shepherd. I'm going to start at verse 10 in the Amplified, where it says, "The thief comes only in order to steal, kill, and destroy. And Jesus was saying that I came that they might have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows. I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd lays down his own life for the sheep. But the hired man who merely serves for wages, who is neither the shepherd nor the owner of the sheep, when he sees the wolf coming, he deserts the flock and runs away. And the wolf snatches the sheep and scatters them. The man runs because he's a hired hand who serves only for wages and is not concerned about the safety of the sheep. I am the Good Shepherd, and I know without any doubt those who are my own, and my own know me and have a deep personal relationship with me, even as the Father knows me and I know the Father. And I lay down my very own life, sacrificing it for the benefit of the sheep. I have other sheep besides these that are not in this fold. I must bring those also, and they will listen to my voice and pay attention to my call, and they will become one flock with one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my own life so that I may take it back. No one takes it away from me, but I lay it down voluntarily. I am authorized, and I have power to lay it down and to give it up. And I am authorized, and I have power to take it back. This command I have received from my Father." So Jesus is depicting here that he is the good shepherd, and that he was prophesying that he's going to be, you know, dying on the cross and for our sins and for our benefit. You know, he's going to cause us to live in a place that we are taken care of, that we have a supply that we can tap into, that we're not just here to fend for ourselves on earth, but that he is with us every step of the way. He's such a good, good father. You know, going back to what I was saying about just living out of a place of, you know, supply and figuring out where your calling is, you know, we are designed to live fully alive. Jesus came to give us life abundantly, according to John 10:10. But Jesus came so that we might enjoy life and to the full and overflowing. It's about living out of your overflow. It's a picture of how we're supposed to live here on the earth, not just when we get to heaven. We are first to be filled with God's amazing gifts and just everything that he puts in us. And then that overflows into other people, the people around us. We need to be filled up first, though, before we become ministry to other people. You know, on an airplane, what they tell you that is, if in case of emergency where the oxygen masks drop down, they tell you, you know, before you help anybody else, you need to put the oxygen mask on yourself. You know, and this feels so contrary to what you're supposed to do, because you want to go help the and save your loved ones, the people around you real quick. But the problem with that is you run out of your own source of oxygen before you're able to help them, and it ends up, you know, that puts you both in danger. And same thing with, you know, with someone drowning, that the lifeguard needs to be up there and he needs to be stable first before he can rescue whoever it is that he's rescued. So it's a backwards theology, because we always were taught growing up, that at least me anyway, was to put others first. Always, you know, you always put the other person first ahead of you. And I believe that is true, but you need to be living at a healthy place, at a place of strength. You need to be operating out of a place of strength rather than operating out of a place of weakness, instead of just trying to help people, you know, get above you while you're drowning. You know, I really believe that God's called us. The picture here is something more than what we maybe first understood. Our lives are supposed to live so full that it attracts the attention of non-believers. You know, the way we live our life is the best, is the pulpit of how we live. You know, people may think that because I'm speaking here this morning on BPN Radio, that, oh, he must be doing ministry and he must be, you know, doing all these great things. And really, the substance of my life isn't because I'm speaking and recording into the microphone for you today. It's really more of, how am I treating my wife? How am I treating my friends? How am I serving at my church? You know, how am I serving my coworkers, my boss, you know, everybody around me? How am I managing those things? How am I bringing the kingdom into those areas, rather than, you know, how am I playing the guitar up on stage, or how am I speaking in front of the mic? You know, those things are great, but the way we live our life speaks more volume than any microphone or any speaker could project. Cold, restricting religious rules and ways of doing life are instant turnoff for people, and people know when your love is fake. Let your love be genuine. You know, the more loving we become, the brighter we shine in the world. The more influence we begin to walk in, the more lives we begin to impact. And the crazy thing is that it'll begin to feel so natural that when you walk by the Spirit of God, that ministry will begin to flow in everyday life, instead of an event that your church is hosting, or, you know, just every now and then on Sunday. The people around you are your ministry, and the more that they see your life changing for the better, the more they are curious to see what God's about as they see God work through you. And the secret to all of this, the secret to all of it is the secret is when we begin to develop that personal relationship with God on a daily basis. You know, we can come to Him with all of our faults and all of our baggage and just all of our ugly, but He's not deterred by it at all. Like I said in John 10:14, where He said, "I am the good shepherd, and I know without any doubt those who are my own, and they my own know me, and they have a deep and personal relationship with me." That's the key for living your life in overflow. That's the key to living your life to the absolute full, to the point where you don't feel filled up, but you are also expressing God to other people around you in all sorts of ways. It could be farming, it could be business world, it could be like for me, it's in real estate or in payroll, you know, those different kinds of things. For my wife, it's in radiation therapy. You know, there's all sorts of things that God has placed in us in specific areas and fields and social issues to tackle. He's called us to operate in those and to bring His kingdom through those specific things, not just through Sunday service. Living a daily relationship with God is living full life. He'll begin to speak to you about everyday situations and even the small things in life, not just the big things in life, but He really does care about the small details about our lives. You know, it wasn't too long ago that I had a situation where God had answered my dad's prayer, and it was an amazing just testimony. And it wasn't anything that, you know, big or anything like that. No one got healed, no one was raised from the dead or anything like that. But it was a simple story that was really profound for the both of us. And we'll probably talk about that moment for a long time. But he was praying one night because I had recently got married and, you know, I'd moved out of the house. Me and my wife now have our own house and we're doing our own thing and life is busy. And so I haven't been able to see my dad as often. So my dad was praying one night that he would see me. And he wanted to talk to me and just he was missing me. And he actually prayed to God, "Lord, let me talk to my son. Let me get to talk to my son." And even though I wasn't that far away, you know, he just missed me. And the very next morning, I've never had this happen before, but I was on my way to work and I was approaching this pickup truck that was heading in the same direction as I was, and it looked like my dad's car, and I just had an overwhelming compassion about my dad. You know, I just had a sense of like, man, I really miss my dad. I really miss spending time with him. You know, him and I are really close, and, you know, I really miss spending that time and just conversation. You know, we just talk about whatever it is, but I just really miss him. And I was driving up past the truck and I realized that it was my dad in that car. And I gave him a call as soon as I saw him. And he was so excited to tell me that the night before he had just prayed to God, the Lord, help me to talk to my son. And I really miss my son. I want to just talk to him and spend some time with him. And we were able to go to dinner that evening. And it was just an awesome testimony of how God was so concerned about just even our one little time of wanting to interact with each other, just spending time with each other. And, you know, and I believe that's how God works so many times, is that He just wants to remind us on a constant basis that He really, really does love us and He really does care for us. You know, it may feel like sometimes He doesn't answer prayer all the time, but, you know, there's always a reason behind everything He does. And if we're praying for it, you know, prayer makes things happen. And prayer isn't just like drawing a lottery ticket, hoping something works out. But prayer, it activates heaven in the earth in our daily lives. Spending time with Him in the secret place when no one else is looking or wondering how we're praying or anything else, when it's just you and Him, we literally just exchange thoughts with God. God begins to show us new ways of doing things, new wisdom that we never had before. Or maybe it's how to do your job more effectively or run a business more effectively or, you know, whatever it is, a new God idea. Whatever it is he's trying to awaken you will come out of that place of prayer. And if we don't take that time to cultivate that, we will miss so much of life and so much of what he wants to do in us. You know, I really believe that God doesn't force his hand in so many situations that he could really prove himself. So I don't want to miss another opportunity. I have a passion for this. I have a passion of wanting to see God move in everyday situations. You know, right now, one of my prayers is that I want to see miracles on a regular basis. I wanted to see, you know, it doesn't have to be incredible big things, but I want to see God move in specific areas of my life. I want to pray and then things happen. And I want to see that God, how God uses certain moments to draw us closer to him, not just for us to look at the miracles. You know, that was the issue in Jesus's day, that he was performing all these miracles and the crowds were being drawn to the miracle itself and they were losing sight of Jesus, and he had to bring correction to that, saying, no, you know, I am the reason that, you know, all these things are here. All these wonderful things are here. Look at me. Look at them. And I do what the Father is doing. The Father's heart is for you. He only wants your life to be good. He doesn't want you to be just impressed by all the miracles that he might be able to do, not just impressed by all of the, you know, the wonderful things God can do or provide in our lives, but he really wants to draw us close. Another time I can think of that what God really just captured my attention and really drew me in close to him was whenever I was a junior in high school. And the crazy thing is that we were serving the seniors their senior meal after graduation, and they didn't place any limit on how many people the seniors could invite to this. So we were serving food to all of these people, and it was like a sloppy Joe type of sandwich, and we had an assembly line going on. My job was to take a plate and put the rolls on it and pass it down to the next person so they can put the meat on it and, you know, get through the line and get everybody fed so everybody had something to eat for that night. And I remember looking down the hall where we were standing, and the line was wrapped around the building and in the auditorium where the graduation was being held. And I just remember my mom coming up to me saying that, you know, the basket of rolls, the small basket that I had in front of me, that was the last basket of rolls that we had to feed everybody. And the line was just so long. It was out the doors and all this stuff. So we obviously knew that we didn't have enough to feed everyone. So she walks off, and I turn to the lady who's next to me serving, and halfway joking, I look at her and say, hey, you know, it'd be really cool as if God multiplied this bread. And we both kind of chuckled to each other, and I put my hand over the bread and said, Lord, multiply the bread. Amen. That's all I said. It was real simple, and we kind of were joking about it. But I no sooner said that than my mom came back and she said, I don't know what to tell you, but all this bread appeared out of nowhere underneath this table that we had. We lifted up this tablecloth and all of a sudden we had all this bread that was more than enough for everybody. And so we were like just shocked, and we were floored by what God just did, because we were just praying for that. It was like the second later that it was answered, you know, and it was just a really awesome moment in my life that I can look back to and say, wow, God really does care about me. God really does love me. It's not that I'm special or anything like that, but I'm a child of God, and I know it. And I know it that because, you know, God provides little ways just in life that, you know, I've just asked him, even in a halfway joking manner, to show up, and he you know, shows me up by providing all the bread. And we had enough food left over, not only to feed the line, but I remember God asking me to count the baskets that we had left over after everything was done, and we had 12 groups of food to hand out to people at the end. And it was just such a powerful testimony. It was just like back in the store, the Bible story where God had multiplied the bread and had all the baskets of the loaves left over. And it was just such a amazing reminder to me that God really can do anything. There's nothing he can't do. He's Father God. We are his sons and his daughters, and we have access to everything that he has. Whenever I was working on my house, you know, my dad said, hey, you know, I have all these tools here. You can use them, you know, whatever you need, you know, and even more so what God is so much like, so like that, to where, you know, God's like, hey, I have all this supply. I have all these things to give you. Please use them, you know, for at your own discretion. Just take it and go with it. You know, create things and build things and change things and renovate things. You know, and I think that whenever we really begin to catch that part of God, that heart of God, that he's wanting to be just part of our daily lives, we begin to operate out of a new supply that we never thought we could have. And it's not about the supply at all, but it's engaging with God's heart and using those things that he gives us. Not putting those things to the side, not just trying to make it to retirement, but let's use the things that God's placed in our lives to make a difference around us and to share that love that God has placed in us. You know, Romans 2:4 in the New Living Translation says, don't you see how wonderfully kind, tolerant, and patient God is with you? Does this mean nothing to you? Can't you see that his kindness is intended to turn you from your sin? You know, kindness is what turns the world away from sin. So much more than preaching, you know, fire and brimstone. You know, kindness is what will change a generation. Kindness is what will change people's hearts towards God. And whenever people capture that heart of God and have personal just experiences in that, and I believe God's faithful to do those things, that's when the world begins to change. That's when the world becomes fully alive. God has given us the keys to the kingdom. We have access to areas of our life to release people into new territories and new dimensions that weren't even intended for us, but it releases them to greater places while we are being released to greater places. Linking arms together, just choosing to do life together, is a wonderful thing that Jesus came to establish on the earth. You know, there's a passion that I have to see the world come alive. There must be more to life than just living. If you feel like that ignited something in you, I challenge you to ask God right now to show you a practical step in how to make what he intended a reality. Jesus is releasing revival on the earth today, and we are called to partner with the person of the Holy Spirit and with each other to bring that forward, to release heaven on earth like Jesus prayed. He said, Father, you know, release heaven on earth. And the disciples asked him, how do we pray? And that was his response, you know, and I'm sure he had prayed so many different prayers, but that was the one specific thing that he pointed out to teach them in that moment, that is his core mission, that is the every reason for him being on the earth in that time. Is just to prove God's love exists for humanity today. You know, it's not so much the doom and gloom that we all hear on the news. You know, God's plan, he is so much greater. He's so far above every political agenda or every, you know, economic issue, whatever it is. God is so much greater, and he wants to use you and I in key areas of education, of the business world, of you know, foster care and adoption and all these different things, and film industry and cattle industry and farm and ag and all these different places. And he wants to cause us to shift those things for the greater. You know, he
whenever he talked about mountains moving, it talks about those impossible situations that we never thought could move. You know, that industry that we look at, and just most people shake their heads. But we as believers are called to see past just the doom and gloom, past the negative, to really reach in and see what God wants to do. So I just challenge you today, let's just take a breath of fresh air, knowing that God loves you. He loves where you're at. You know, he knows exactly what's going on in the best way. He looks at you and sees what he made and says, man, I love my son, or I love my daughter. I love this person. I love this about you. And he wants to cultivate those gifts out of a place of intimate relationship with him. So thank you for listening today on this broadcast. I really pray that this challenges you to live life as God intended. Let's journey in this together. You know, just because I've been preaching all these things doesn't mean I have this all figured out. But let's go on this journey together just to discover more of what God has in store. You know, I really think that it is so far above everything we can think or imagine. And choose to live life greater than what you've been currently living. Choose to take hold of that which God has provided for you. Take what God has supplied you with in your life and run with it. Run hard with it. Go after those things that God has called you to go to. Whatever those passions are that you have, that's a clue to your calling. So don't ignore those things. I'm so excited for what God's awakening in this generation of people. And I believe that we are blessed and we are going to see God's kingdom come. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, if you want to get hold of me or send me an email, or if you want me to pray and partner with you about something, you can reach me at my email at shay_schultz@yahoo.com, or you can reach me through Facebook or my business page, Shay Schultz-Realtor, and I'll be glad to partner with you in prayer or whatever it is that you want to be believing for. If you want to just have a conversation, you know, we'd love to have that with you as well. So anyway, you guys have a great rest of your day and a great blessed week. God really is up to big things. Be blessed and be prepared for all the amazing preaching that's ahead today here on BPN Radio.